Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on Internet Radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, and I'm flying solo today. It's not Mark and Matt today. It's Mark Kohler. My co-host, Matt Sorensen, is on a plane. He tried to work the schedule around so he could get off the plane in time. And then, of course, what do you think happened? His flight got delayed. It's just, you know, Murphy's Law. So Matt's not here, but we're excited to have a great show planned for you. Matt was a huge part of planning for the show. We've got a great host, guest. You got a great host too. That's me. But we got a great show planned for you, a great guest. I've got some tips that are really going to be important. We got our show questions of the week. So welcome. For those that are new listeners, you can catch the show in a variety of ways. Probably what we love the most is Blog Talk Radio live Wednesdays at noon, Mountain Standard Time. If you're getting our newsletter, you can get right to the link. Please sign up for the newsletter at refreshyourwealth.com. And every week we have a live link to listen to the show on your phone or on your computer. But then it is immediately podcast to iTunes. And that's where the bulk of our listeners come in, as they catch it on their podcast iTunes playlist later in the week while they're commuting, working on the treadmill, at the desk, turning emails. We're here for you. Tax and legal show, keeping it real, keeping it fun. And I got to tell you, I just love this. I got to get my mojo on here for the show. I've been doing the show 9 years, every week, live. So I just love, you know, just being here and being a part of your lives. Hope I can be of service with our firm, or even just here being on the show with you is good enough for me. So now today's show, as many of you have already seen the announcement for today, it is how to analyze a rental property deal. And this is a big topic because we love buying rental property. We want our clients to buy rental property. This is a huge deal. I buy rental property, and trying to find the right rental property is always a trick. So we're going to have special guest Jason Hartman come on the show. He's been on the show before. National expert. He does education around the country. He's just phenomenal. And I love his website, just packed with information. So he's going to be coming on the show a little later to give us some tips on how to analyze a rental property deal, how to find the right rental property, all that good stuff. So we're going to be covering that a little later in the show. Now, for those that are regular listeners, you know what we try to do next, try to come up with a little tax tip or legal tip. Since Matt's not here, I'm going straight to a tax tip, and I got a big one, and this is really, really important. So without any further ado.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Hope you're opening up that Sprite. Sounds like a Sprite, right? It's not a Rockstar. I drink a non-carbonated Rockstar. So that's the sound of a Sprite can opening up. A little refreshing here for you. Excited to bring this topic up because it's so important. Now, the issue is extensions. We've got extensions coming down the pipe. You may be catching this recorded. Some of you may be later in the year catching up on podcasts. But today, we're in the latter end of March, March 23rd, and April 15th is our big tax day that's coming up, and we've got to decide, are we going to do an extension? What are we going to do? And I want to give some important tips on this, because a lot of people say, should I send in money with my extension? Should I send in money? So point number one, if you don't file an extension, there's a failure to file penalty that starts ticking. So the first point I want to make to everybody out there is if your taxes aren't done yet, and let me say this too, 60 to 65% of our clients, probably 70% of our clients, we extend. That's okay. I don't even file my tax return until September, October every year. You reduce your chances for an audit, which is totally fine. And so just keep in mind that filing an extension is an okay thing. Don't stress. But you always want to file that extension because there's penalties that will start kicking in if you don't. So that's point number one. Now, this year, they're due by April 18th. If you're a client of ours, we're going to be filing it for you. If you sign an engagement letter, we're going to be filing that extension for you. But for some of you out there that are working it on your own, that's cool. It's Form 4868, Form 4868. Print it out. Just go Google it. Print out a PDF and send it in by April 18th. And I always recommend you get it postmarked. So pretty straightforward. So if the IRS comes complaining later that you didn't file an extension, you know you're going to be okay because you got it postmarked. Now, here's the next issue. An extension is extension to file, not an extension to pay. So I owe some taxes for my 2015 tax return. How much money am I going to send in on April 18th? Do I want to send in everything I owe the IRS? Can I send in everything? Have I already made payments? No, not in my situation. Some of you, I've made payments, but not enough to cover my tax liability. I always end up having to pay something by April 15th, or I'll pick up the rest when I file my return. Again, that's okay, folks, but you need to know there is a penalty if you don't don't send in at least 90% of what you ultimately owe. So let me repeat that. You want to send in at least 90% of what you owe by April 18th this year, and then there's no penalty if you end up catching up a few hundred bucks or thousands of bucks, whatever it is, when you ultimately finish your tax return later in the summer. Now, if you don't pay at least 90% of what your extension is, then it's a half of 1%. Half of 1% of your unpaid taxes for each month past your extension deadline. So it's not that bad. A half of 1% per month for the remaining balance of what you owe. So if you say, oh, I only owe $10,000 left on my tax return and I don't send it in with my extension, then half of 1% of that, let's see, 10% would be $1,000, 1% would be $100, so a half of that would be $50. So your penalty is going to be $50 a month on that $10,000. So it's not the end of the world if you end up having to pay some taxes later. So try to do your best to guesstimate, and that's what it is, an estimate of what you think you're going to owe for your ultimate taxes for last year, and try to send in at least 90% of that with your extension. Boom, bada bang. Easy. Now, I'm going to put together some guidelines, I think. I'm going to put this in our newsletter next week, some specific guidelines. I think I've got like two or three, you know, and then some safe harbors. For example, if you didn't owe the year before and you've made about the same amount of money, don't send in an extension payment. If you owed last year and you made about the same, then send in about what you owed last year as your extension payment. It gets to be this kind of estimation that gets to be tricky. All right, now I want to make this last point, and then I will get off this topic. Some of you are going crazy. You're like, Mark, get to the topic. I want to talk rental property. I get it. We got to also do our question of the week and announce our winner. That's all good. But let me throw out one little more tip here. Let's say you made a bunch of money as an entrepreneur this last year, or you made some extra money, and you haven't made any deposits yet. You're going to say, Mark, I don't know how much to even send if I'm going to be within 90% of what I actually owe. So here's kind of a good guesstimate. I don't want you to hold me liable to this if you end up having a little penalty or whatever, but this will really generally get most of our clients fine without a penalty. And in my situation, kind of what I estimate, and that is 25%. Think of how much money you made and then put in 25% as a deposit. And that'll give you a good jump on what you might owe, and then also you could even end up with a refund, so it's all good. So maybe try to estimate about 25%, and you'll be doing just fine. And that's for your federal. Now, for your state, it's the same scenario. If you paid before, then pay the same. If you didn't, then you don't probably need to worry about it. If you made extra money, I usually say about 7%. So take what you made and then send that into your state. Now, if you're in one of these lucky states where you don't have state tax, then just be loving it. Woo, don't worry about it. But if you owe for the feds or owe for the state, send something in and just try to do an estimate. And that's going to keep you big time out of harm's way. So that's my tax tip for the week. I'll put that in the newsletter for all of you so that you can be thinking about what you might want to send with your deposit. And don't stress about it. It's going to be fine. Filing an extension isn't the end of the world. So keep that in mind and be working on your extension, trying to estimate what you think you might owe, and it'll all turn out. So you're good to go. Now, we're going to take a quick break for our AM broadcasters out there to pay some bills and take some commercials. We're going to be back in just a quick minute. It's even less than that if you're listening to the podcast. So don't go anywhere and join us right back here on the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and typically Matt Sorensen, but he's not here with us today. So we're going to just fly solo. You're here with me. Excited to be with you. We're going to be jumping into our topic shortly with Jason Hartman. We're hoping to get him on the line soon and make sure that we're good to go there. So this is a great show about how to analyze a rental property deal. Now, if you're a regular listener to our show, you know what's coming up next. If you're new, what we do every week is we kind of pose a question. We want to get your juices flowing, and we award the first person to respond with a free copy of mine or Matt's newest book, which is kind of a big deal. That's free shipping and a cost of a book, you know, about a $15 to $20 value on Amazon Prime for some of you. So that's a big deal to just give away a book every week. So we want to give it to someone that responds quickly with a response to our question of the week. So let's go through last week's question. Last week's question was the Chick-fil-A question, we're going to call it. So some of you sit back. You've already missed out. We have a winner. It's Kristen out of Chicago. Love her. She's great. We don't share the last names on these on the show, but Kristen, she's going to be getting a copy of our book, and we've been in touch with her via email. But she got the correct answer, and here was the question. Question was, let's say you're having a staff meeting. You want to invite everybody over in the office to the conference room and have a staff meeting and pick up lunch. And we were saying maybe you go with that Chick-fil-A catering menu, and which is an inside joke at our office for another podcast. But you have everybody into the conference room, and you discuss some important topics. And meanwhile, you break bread over some Chick-fil-A. So you're having Chick-fil-A and you're talking staff meeting and everybody's getting lunch. And the question was, do you get 100% deduction for that meal, or is it still limited by 50%? Because it's meals and entertainment. Meals and entertainment is generally 50%, Mark. There's no way I get to write off 100% of that. There's no way. Well, Kristen got the answer correct. She actually said, Mark, I was at your workshop in Chicago last month, and I remember you talking about this. When you provide meals in the office for a staff meeting or presentation, it is 100% deduction. Ah, gotta love this. This is great. 100% deduction for meals in the office for a staff meeting. So keep that in mind. And on your QuickBooks, you want to have a separate line item for this. This is a great tip that can save you thousands of dollars throughout the year. Because if you don't have this line item, then your account's going to usually take the 50% and just say, oh, it was dining. You're like, no, it wasn't dining. I was actually providing food for the staff. So kind of big deal. So very, very important. So you want to keep that in mind and make sure you're keeping separate line items for presentation food or staff meeting food. Kind of a big deal. Okay, That was the question for last week. Now, let me pose the question for this week. Now, it was kind of tax-related, of course, last week, so we're going to go with, is it liable this week? That's the question. It's going to be an, is it liable? Are you liable in this question? Got that wrong. So, are you liable? That's what we're really talking about this week. So, here's the example. Now, the first one to respond. Now, I know many of you are listening with smartphones or on your computer, so you'll just, you know, just respond quickly to either Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com or Matt, M-A-T, at kkoslawyers.com. Just put in the subject line, show question, and just give, throw down your answer. You can just easily email it right there on your phone. So here's the question. You're doing a little remodel on a fixer-upper. Maybe it's a rental property or a fix and flip, but you got this little investment property, and you're trying to knock everything out quickly and affordably, and you've got this kid that you know down the street, neighbor, you know, great college kid, needs some extra cash, and you say, hey, can you come over and help me out? We're spackling some walls. We need some help here, and we'd like to just, you know, get some extra help, just some sanding, that sort of thing. And he's like, sure, I'll do it. And you're like, hey, I'll pay you $15 an hour. Or maybe even you flat fee him. I don't care. You pay him per hour, you flat fee him. And he's up on a ladder one day working on your drywall. And maybe it's just a short job. He's just coming over for a few days. And he's on this ladder, and he falls and breaks his arm. Oh. And you rush him to the hospital to help out in the ER. You're trying to figure things out. And you feel terrible. And the question is, but are you liable? Are you liable for that little helper that was spackling some walls and helping with the drywall in that situation? So that's our question of the week. Yes or no, pretty straightforward. Send your response via email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com or Matt, M-A-T, at kkoslawyers.com. And we'll get that on the show, mention your name, and have you win a free copy here of one of our books. So we hope that that will entice you to respond as that copy. Now, we're going to see here if Jason's on the line. I want to introduce him, so just hold for one moment here. Okay, we don't have Jason on the line yet. We may have some problems with him getting on the schedule today. So what we're going to do is jump into the topic, and I've actually prepared some important notes on this. And if we have the opportunity to introduce Jason onto the show later here, then great. But if not, I am excited to actually share what I've got for you, some important tips on this topic. This is an article that I've written before on finding the next perfect rental property. And I know you're going to find this information helpful, and I know it can really, really help you in your long-term plans to buy the perfect rental property. So here, let me give you a little precursor here. I know this sounds crazy, but I actually get to meet with at least 1,000 clients a year, one-on-one. That's just really just 3 consults a day. And if my secretary pounds my calendar for more than 3 or 4 appointments a day, I get behind. I can't keep up on email. It's brutal. So I know I'm at least meeting with 3 clients a day to talk about their life and their tax planning and whatever the case may be. And you know that over those 1,000 consults, I have learned common themes, things that work for clients that make wealth and things that don't. I buy rental property. I have clients that have bought thousands of rental property. I met with a client yesterday that bought 23 rentals in the last 90 days through a 1031 exchange. Exciting deal. And guys, I've really learned a lot on what works and what doesn't work. And so I'm going to be sharing some 5-6 different tips here. And I will open it up for live callers here too that we've got on the show to help comment as well on what they would like to add on this topic. We've got a number of live callers already just listening in, but I want to involve them in the show here if we aren't able to get Jason. But that's okay. We'll get him if it's not today. So hang tight. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with our topic of analyzing a rental property deal and finding the right rental property. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back here with the Refresh Your Wealth Show. back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth. Mark Kohler flying solo today as your host, talking about ways to analyze the perfect rental property deal. Now, I'm excited about this because I've got some thoughts that I'm going to share on this that I know will help you. I know it. I meet with clients every day that are buying rentals. I'm analyzing rental property deals every week. Wish I was doing it every day. But at least every week I'm thinking about it. I'm looking at rentals. And I've got some partners that we're looking constantly at rental property deals. So excited about this topic. For those that were expecting Jason Hartman, we may be able to get him here a little later on the show. If not, we're going to have him next week. We'll bump it for a week. He's got some incredible insights on this. So we'll be getting him on the show later if there's if we need to. So everybody hang tight on Jason Hartman, but take notes. Pull out a yellow pad. I want you to take some notes. We've got some live listeners here. If anybody would like to make a comment on the show, you can press the number 1, and my producer, Jennifer, will make a note that you have a comment, and we'll bring you out on the show if you want to add something or have a question about any of these topics. Okay, now here's point number 1, finding the next perfect rental property. I'm going to put this into a blog article for next week in the newsletter. So as you get the newsletter every week, you can take – if you're driving down the road and you're like, Mark, I want these notes, I will transpose this into a new blog article for this week based on what we talked about. I've already got some articles on this in the past, but I know it's going to evolve into something new. Okay, so here's point number 1. Buy local, and I want to repeat the words, if you can, because a lot of people get fixated, too many people get fixated on, I got to buy local. If I'm going to buy a rental, it's got to be local. Well, they live in a market that sucks for rental property. If you live, and don't be offended, because my long-term plan is I want to be spending more time in Hawaii and living in Hawaii, but buying a local rental property in Hawaii is not always the best equation, the best use of your time and money. You can oftentimes get better deals on the mainland and get a better ROI. You don't have to put down as much money to cash flow. Now, this could be in proper areas such as New York, a lot of California, a lot of the coastal cities that where people want to live. It's going to, for some reason, people want to live by the ocean, so properties cost more there. But be careful of vacation property locations, whether it's Park City, Utah, or Vail, Colorado, these expensive areas. If you live in those areas, it may not be the best place to buy a rental. So my tip number 1, and I see this as a consistent success story with clients that are successful, is they don't worry about buying property local. They buy good property where it makes sense. Okay, that's point number 1. Point number 2, learn how to manage your property manager. Yes, I'm not talking about learn how to manage your rental property. I want you to learn how to manage your property manager. And the reason why I say that is 90% of my clients, they're not full-time real estate realtors or brokers or property managers. They don't have time to go check on their rental property and plunge a toilet or pick up rent. And moreover, based on point number 1, the rental properties may not even be down the street from you anyway. You're buying quality rentals where they make sense. So why are we buying rentals across the country but not learning how to manage our property manager? And let me make another important point here too. A lot of my clients don't have the temperament to be a property manager. And let me raise my hand, yours truly. I am a crappy property manager. I am a bleeding heart. Many of you that know me, it takes a lot to make me upset and where to, I get forceful and, you know, chop limbs off and whatever. You know, I'm a renter calls and says, I can't pay rent this month. I'm the first one to be like, oh, let's work through it. You know, how can I help you with your rent? Okay, that's not a good property manager. You do not want a bleeding heart running your property, and that could be you. So this is why I tell all my clients, budget at least 10% of gross rents into your property management deal. That's okay. 10% of gross rents should be going to property management anyway. And if it's in your budget, then if you can't manage it personally, you always got it in your budget based on your expected return on investment, ROI, that you're going to be okay if you have to hire a manager. And again, folks, have an intervention. Sit down with yourself and go, you know what? I'm not going to be tough enough on my renters. I'm not going to send them that notice of default within 3 days as soon as they're late on their rental because I'm going to worry about them and I'm going to be a bleeding heart. Guys, that is not good property management skill set. You want to have someone tough be your property manager. And I'm not saying that sometimes you need to help those in need, but you've got to be thinking about your own bottom line too. If you've got enough rental property and enough income that you can be charitable in giving with one rental property for a tenant that's going through a hard situation, that's great. But if you only got three rental properties and you don't make rent 1 month and all of a sudden you're negative cash flow, it's not time to be, you know, Mr. Charitable or Mrs. Charitable. It's you gotta be tough until you can have the luxury of affording to be generous. Okay, so that was point number two. Manage your property manager. Now, number three, don't use a shotgun approach. What I mean by that is I recently just had a consult with a client this last week. They had five rental properties in four states. I'm like, whoa. Now, we started looking at each rental property, and they were great. They had great ROI. They made sense. I was cool with that. On an individual basis, each rental looked great. But the problem was is now they've got the inefficiency and administrative cost of an LLC or multiple LLCs, but let's just say it's one LLC for these five properties. I got to register that LLC in four states. Moreover, I got to pay taxes in four states. So I got to make sure my accountant can file a tax return in those four states. I may need to set up banking that's coordinated with those four states so that my tenants can make direct deposits. I got to go find four different property managers for these properties in these four states. Hopefully two of them, of the five properties, two of them are at least near each other. So you got one property manager managing two of them. And if I want to go check on these rentals, I got to fly to four different states. Do you see the inefficiency? Now, I'm not saying you didn't buy a good rental. You probably bought a great rental property in each location. But is it going to be easy to manage? Folks, you want to build a relationship with your property manager. You want to build a knowledge base of the area where you're buying rentals. What's going on in that market? New companies, new schools, new colleges, expansion, veteran facilities, or I should say military facilities and military housing. I don't know. But you want to get to know those areas. And when you're tracking four different properties, I mean, four different states and five properties, that can be overwhelming from a cost standpoint and efficiency standpoint for management. So be more targeted in your approach. I think that's going to really help you be more successful with each rental. Okay. Now, number four is I want you to have a master potential property analysis spreadsheet. Well, let me repeat. That's a mouthful, I know. You can come up with it. Call it your spreadsheet, your rental property spreadsheet. I don't know. I call it the master potential property analysis spreadsheet. Now, this is where, folks, you've got to get up to speed on Excel. Excel is critical. Now, Excel, for anybody that's gone to school in the last 20 years, 30 years, you're going to know Excel. It's a great little spreadsheet procedure. And I know some of you are old school, pencil and paper. That's fine. Get out a column paper and create some columns. But a spreadsheet is critical here because it's going to do some calculations inside that spreadsheet. And what you want to do is have different columns to analyze a rental property deal. It's so important so that when you come across the deal, you plug the terms into the spreadsheet and it spits out your ROI. So this spreadsheet, okay, so if you're thinking from left to right, you've got different columns, and then on the top to bottom, you've got different rental properties that you've looked at. And you can plug in a rental property and then start inputting the data regarding that property from left to right, and at the very end, at the very far right column, the number you want spit out is called ROI, return on investment. Now, I think of that in a rental property scenario as cash on cash return. If you invest X number of cash dollars, what is your annual net cash flow after all of your estimated expenses? What is your annual ROI? So if you invest 10 grand in cash to buy this property and you make $1,000 after all your expenses at the end of the year, $100 a month in cash flow, let's say, you've got a 10% ROI. You invested 10 and you made $1,000. So that's a 10% cash on cash ROI. Now be careful of the term that's called cap rates. Cap rate and ROI and cash on cash, and you're going to hear about nine other different terms to analyze what a rental property net cash flow or profit could be. So make sure that you just understand whatever term you use, in my opinion, it's got to boil down to what is your cash on cash return? At the end of the day, how much cash are you going to make based on how much you're going to invest? Okay, now let me go through some of the columns on this spreadsheet. And I'll create a spreadsheet for you that will help explain this. And I'll have this in my next newsletter to help kind of analyze this process for you. Now, we're going to take a quick break and come right back, and I'm going to help you help bring closure to this topic with two more tips. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back with Refresh Your Wealth. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth. Mark Kohler talking about how to analyze a rental property deal. I've invited our live listeners here. If they wanted to make a comment that are on the line, they could make a comment. But we're getting down to our last 7 to 8 minutes of the show, so I'm going to plow through and make a couple points here. This spreadsheet analysis, by the way, let me say, there are experts, far better experts than me, that buy rentals every day and manage rentals for property. People like this Jason Hartman we're going to have back on the show, we are unable to connect with today, that have great spreadsheets or pro formas on how to manage or analyze a rental property. But I have my own, and I want you to take control of your own spreadsheet. You want to own it. You want to understand it. Now, here's some of the columns I'm going to put in my spreadsheet from left to right. Purchase price. How much is this thing going to cost? Column two. Down payment. What type of lending is going to be required with this property? Is it going to be a commercial loan, a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, a seller carryback, 10% down, 20% down, 40% down, non-recourse loan? It's going to be an IRA deal? I don't know. Put down how much cash you're going to put in. That's an important column, number two. Column number three, how much improvements are going to be necessary? How many dollars are going to be necessary to get this thing ready to rent? $1,000, $10,000? What column two and three tell you is, what is your total cash in? That's it. What's your total cash in to this project? Then we want to start looking at expected rents. And you're going to want to be, or I'm going to come to another tip here on what to do with finding out that figure. But what are your expected rents for that property? Be conservative. Don't be overly bold, you know, and aggressive and think you're going to just, you know, tear it up. Don't choose the worst number, but not the best. Come with what is expected probably. Then you've got your, now you've got your rental income number. Now you start looking at your expenses. Peel off 10% for property management. Peel off your property taxes. Your debt service cost. What's the mortgage payment going to be? What is your HOA fees going to be? Have a little reserve. Say I want to have a reserve of 10% that I'm setting aside every month to cover expected costs. Unexpected costs, not unexpected. They're going to happen. But you have all your little expense lines, and you can go out on the web and find, you know, 13 different expense columns for this. That's cool. But at the very end, you want to look at what is my expected cash flow? And that's going to spit out a column there. What is my expected cash flow from this property? Then you're going to divide that by the amount of cash you invested, and that's going to create that last column of cash on cash return. Now, total ROI are a couple extra columns that you would generate. What do you expect the appreciation to be? What do you expect the tax benefits to be? And what about mortgage reduction? All of those are ROIs based on the money you put in. And then you can come up with a total return on investment. But folks, here's the important point. Which ROI number matters for buying a rental property? It's your cash on cash ROI. Folks, many of you that have seen me speak on this, I've talked about us being appreciation drunk back in the 2005 and 6 and 7, right? We just bought anything. We didn't care about cash flow. So be cautious about looking at the total ROI and buying a property when the cash on cash return could be a nightmare. So be really, really, really careful about that. Okay, I've got just two more points. So this is 5 and 6. Number 5, and these are pretty quick. These aren't too bad. Number 5, remember you're buying numbers, not a house. Okay, let me repeat that. You're buying numbers, not a house. I don't take credit for that little quote. That's Chris Alvin out of Chicago. He's been on our show before. He's awesome. He says, too many people get emotional. They attach themselves to this property, thinking, oh, my gosh, it'd be so cool to live there. It's so cute. Maybe we'll live there someday. Oh, can you imagine it with granite countertops? And let's fix this up. And, oh, my gosh, let's do this. Then you over-improve, and your ROI goes through the floor because you put too much money into this stupid thing. If you want to buy a second home, if you want to buy a vacation property, if you want to buy something that you might live in someday, that's cool. But don't put it in your rental property analysis because it's going to be all jacked up by the time you get into this property, and your numbers are going to go, again, through the floor and are going to be terrible, got emotionally attached. If you're going to buy that cute little meth lab property, great, do it. But just know you're not going to live on that street or in that little lab. Even as much as a fan of Breaking Bad I am, I don't know if I want to live in that meth lab property, right? So be careful about analyzing a property and getting emotionally attached to it. Okay, now number 6. This is in finding and analyzing the right rental property deal. Number 6 is do your research. Do your research. Now some of you go, yeah, Mark, yeah. But hold it. Here's the deal. Too many people see the first rental property and buy it. Oh, my gosh, that's a cute little rental. Buy it. No, take your time. Now, I don't want you to procrastinate and put off property after property and never buy anything. I want you to buy something. But you've got to do your research and be discriminate. You've got to say to yourself, why shouldn't I buy this property? And let the numbers prove it to you. See what I'm saying? I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I'm always like, oh, show me the numbers. Show me, you know, why it could be bad. Because I already know it's a good property. Show me why it's bad. No. You've already made up your mind emotionally. You're going to buy the thing. And then the numbers have to prove to you not to buy it. Turn that around. Say, I'm not going to buy this property unless the numbers prove it. See what I'm saying? Let that spreadsheet rock your world. That's when you buy the property. Get to know all the software programs and websites where you can pull rental property rates and fair market values and get to know the property managers in that area. Do your background on the property manager. Do the background on the property. Have someone drive by. Check out that rental property. Don't just – I've had clients just buy a property sight unseen, property manager unseen, and not do enough research on the background and get ripped off. You got to be careful. Don't let someone take advantage of you by not doing enough research. You want to be just research, 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 and then your spreadsheet takes control. You want to be calculated, and it takes away risk. Well, in summary, those are my 6 perfect rental property analysis steps. We didn't talk about how to maintain them and legal or tax issues, but how to find a good property and run the numbers. And I hope that that's impact you in some way, that you can add some of those thoughts to the current way you look at rental properties. Everybody, my listeners, we recommend look at rental property every year. Try to buy one rental property a year. Fund your 401k, fund your HSA, all that good stuff. But live within your means and build up enough cash flow in your life to have a little pot of gold that you can buy rental properties. You've got to be thinking about rental properties. My wealthy clients and successful clients buy rentals. Well, keep living the dream, folks. Grateful you were here listening with us today on Refresh Your Wealth. I hope that we can catch you every week. Please don't go anywhere. Come back every week. Tell your friends about the show. Please put a link on your social media and let people know about Refresh Your Wealth. We're here to help you succeed. Tax and legal strategies, making it fun. Don't give up. I know it's hard. And God bless you. Keep living the dream. And hope to see you next week, Wednesday live at 12 noon Mountain. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.